At 33, running a jazz bar in Tokyo with no literary ambitions, something clicked while watching a baseball game. A double hit, and suddenly, I could write a novel. No preparation, no training, just an inexplicable certainty. That spontaneous decision launched one of Japan's most celebrated literary careers. But here's the twist. The writing came first, and the running followed as its necessary counterpart. Pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. This became the mantra for both pursuits. Over 25 marathons, one brutal ultramarathon, countless triathlons, and decades of novels later, the lesson remains unchanged. Excellence demands not genius, but relentless consistency. Showing up when inspiration fails, pushing forward when every muscle screams to stop. Most romanticize the writer's life, chain-smoking, heavy drinking, burning midnight oil like Hemingway or Fitzgerald. But writing is fundamentally toxic. When words flow, something dark rises from deep within, a psychological poison confronted daily. Every sentence carries emotional strain. Every chapter demands psychological endurance. The difference between writers who burn out and those sustaining decades-long careers? Physical resilience. If writing is the disease, fitness becomes the immune system. The healthy and unhealthy don't oppose each other. They're yin and yang, complementary forces maintaining equilibrium. Talent matters most for novelists, but it's uncontrollable, welling up mysteriously, drying up without warning. What you can control? Focus and endurance. Focus means concentrating limited talents on what's critical. Endurance means maintaining that focus daily for months, years, decades. It's paradoxical, simultaneous tension and relaxation. Raymond Chandler understood this, sitting at his desk daily, even when writing nothing, building stamina like an athlete builds muscle. Through running, the lessons became visceral. How much to push without injury, when rest becomes necessary, how consistency differs from rigidity. Each footfall mirrors a sentence, each mile a chapter. Without becoming a runner, the novels would have been vastly different. Running alone, riding alone, this suits someone who craves solitude. What goes through the mind during long runs? Almost nothing. Running creates a void, or rather, acquires one. Thoughts drift like clouds, present yet insubstantial, never demanding attention. This emptiness isn't depression, it's clarity. Marathon runners understand. We're motivated by personal goals, not rivalries. What matters isn't beating others, but meeting your own standards. The only real opponent is who you used to be. People rarely become runners through persuasion. They run because they're meant to, discovering an inexplicable rightness in the rhythm. On reluctant mornings, the reminder helps. How fortunate to set your own hours, no commuting or meetings. By comparison, running an hour seems trivial. Most run not to extend their lives, but to live them fully, with clear goals and complete presence. Exerting yourself to individual limits is the essence of running, a metaphor for living and creating. Muscles need long warm-ups, but then work efficiently for extended periods, perfect for marathons, terrible for sprints. This physical tendency mirrors mental processes. A resting heart rate of 50 beats per minute marks a long-distance runner's constitution, just as certain rhythms mark a writer's style. 62 miles in one day. Most sane people haven't attempted such foolishness. The first 34 miles felt manageable, like an extended long run. Crossing the marathon marker sent shivers, entering unknown territory where maps end and instinct begins. By mile 31, muscles tightened and thirst pursued relentlessly. At 34 miles, changing clothes and stretching carefully, never sitting, fearing the inability to rise again. The next 13 miles felt like slow processing through a meat grinder. Different body parts took turns screaming while runners passed, including a 70-year-old woman shouting encouragement. Survival required mental transformation. I'm not human. I'm machinery. I don't need to feel. Just forge ahead. Narrowing the world to 3 yards ahead, repeating this mantra mechanically, rejecting all other input. Around male 47, something shifted, like the body moved clean through a stone wall. Thinking became unnecessary. Some external power propelled forward. Exhausted muscles accepted their fate, complaints silenced, becoming an autopilot being whose sole purpose was rhythmic movement. In that transcendent state, passing 200 slowing runners, pain vanished. Evening air carried sea scent and summer grass. Foxes watched from fields, thick clouds overhead like a 19th century landscape. Simultaneously, me and not me, a still, quiet feeling where the mind no longer seemed important. This wasn't just physical achievement, but spiritual passage. After the ultramarathon's triumphs came years of mysterious decline. Marathon times steadily worsened, from consistent sub-3:30 performances to struggling near 4 hours. The mental clarity and emotional lift vanished, replaced by mechanical obligation. Desperate attempts at triathlons and squash failed to recapture that lost passion. Like losing the crazy feeling when you first fall in love, joy transformed into duty. Then, after a decade-long fog, something began stirring. That familiar anticipation before morning runs returned, the satisfaction of pushing through fatigue, the meditative state only running provides. Nurturing this fragile sprout carefully, focusing on bodily signals, letting passion reignite naturally. For the first time in years, genuine contentment filled daily training. Familiar routes brought new discoveries. Even challenging workouts felt purposeful again. Why this renewed generosity toward running remains mysterious. Perhaps returning to Cambridge and the Charles River awakened dormant feelings, or maybe necessary internal adjustment simply needed time to complete its cycle. Running returned as a happy, necessary part of daily life, not mechanical repetition, but natural bodily desire. The rhythm of footfalls felt right again. Looking forward to races not for finishing times, but for the satisfaction of experience itself, the energy, the challenge, the triumph of completion. Triathlon training revealed cycling's unique torture. Endless slopes, winds, gear changes. Dave Scott called it mankind's most unpleasant sport. Yet persistence continued, humming songs while forcing legs to remember rhythm. Racing through transitions, from swimming's horizontal glide to biking's hunched power to running's upright stride, the body transformed like a salamander evolving into an ostrich. The pain in endurance sports is precisely what makes them meaningful. Through voluntary suffering, we feel viscerally alive. Burning muscles, labored breathing, mental battles, these forge character and reveal true nature. Long-distance running has shaped not just the body, but fundamental identity, teaching persistence, humility, self-reliance. The determination to continue running marathons remains unwavering, regardless of age or concerns. That's simply nature, as instinctive as salmon swimming upstream. Looking deep inside reveals a stubborn, self-centered nature carried like an old fraying suitcase. Not because of liking these traits, but because they're fundamental to who we are. For the gravestone, when that day arrives, at least he never walked. Not mere stubbornness, but facing life's challenges head-on, maintaining forward motion even when the path grows steep. In a world obsessed with shortcuts, here's the truth. There is no hack for showing up. Excellence is the accumulated weight of 10,000 ordinary days. So lace up your shoes, sit at your desk, face whatever mountain stands before you. The only way through is forward, one step at a time.